with full and perfect knowledge. Always remember something. Jesus knows everything that's going on with you and that is going to go on with you. There will never be a spot on your life. There will never be a time in your journey where Jesus Christ will have ever turned his back on you. He would never, ever turn his back on those who have called on his name. Amen. That's a promise. He made that promise. As the people, as Randy was talking about, as they were coming in, as shouting, "Hosanna, save us now." They were literally saying that. Be our king, as Randy said. Now, let's overthrow Rome. Let's do it our way. But Jesus, looking at the heart, our heart, and those to come after us, he knew, for it was by design, that one perfect offering on the altar is what it was going to take for you and me to be able to have salvation. And he knew that it was only him. His sacrifice, it's the only sacrifice that was going to count. So, walking in to Jerusalem that day, Jesus had full and perfect knowledge of what was going to take place. Jesus had your name on his heart. Jesus already knew you before you. Now that's a God we serve, folks. I'm talking about a God that loves us so much that all the powers of earth, of evil, of anything that exists would be turned in support of what God had declared, this is my child. You see, it doesn't matter. They may mean harm for you, but God won't allow the harm to come to you. You'll go through a little torturous time. Jesus is always there, and he knows what you can handle, and he knows what you can't. He knows to tell you when to stop. Jesus. I'm sorry, folks. I never learn. Siri has a hard time with Christianity. As life continues to beat at your door, understand something. Jesus is just waiting for you to say, would you get that, Jesus? I can't handle what's coming. Would you get that? That's the love. With full and perfect knowledge, Jesus knew. That's how and why he entered Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. Now, Job declared of the Old Testament, we know the trials and tribulations that Job went through. Job had already declared to those who knew the Old Testament, living in the era, he said, salvation is of the Lord. But now Job had friends like you and I have sometimes. Sometimes they think they know the answer for your life. And they want to come and tell you how bad you are and how wrong you are. The only problem with that If you're ever going to do that, you better have the right answer to fix it. So Job's three friends come to him, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They come to him, and you'll find if you read the story that later on God condemned all three of them because they said, not one thing that you said to Job was from me. And here comes the fourth, Elihu. Elihu comes up and he says, wait, here's your message. The youngest of the group, Elihu, comes in and he says this in Job 36 verses 4 through 7. For truly my words are not false, he says. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you, Job. Are you catching it? Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with the king, for he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. I've told you all that many times. When Jesus has you, Jesus has you. Count it as you're already there when you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. We have been given that message throughout Old and New Testament, throughout the Word of God. Jesus, the Son of God, has full and perfect knowledge of His creation. I'm going to do something different today because I want the story told. And so I'm going to do reading. I want the story told for us to understand just how precious you are, we are, in the eyes of Jesus Himself. See, He's not coming in for no reason. He's not walking into the butchery of what He was going to have to deal with. Those same individuals that were singing Hosanna and praising His name as it came in, later on, that's the same group that said, crucify Him. Crucify Him. So Jesus knew what He was walking into. But Jesus knew you and I couldn't do it. That's why He went in to Jerusalem that first week. John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. My creation, God says. You're a creation of God. You're in the family of God as a Christian. Therefore, God's not going to just show up. God's never going to leave you standing alone. There's not a time that He's not going to be with you. I don't have to say, Lord, won't you come down? I'm already in you, Larry. What do you need? Do you talk to God? Do you give Him your problems? Do you, with a heart of love, say, Lord, I don't know how to control this. I don't know how to handle it. Lord, please give me relief. Do that. God will. With full and perfect knowledge, He went into Jerusalem for you individually. He went into Jerusalem. He saw the enemy of His creation launch a vicious, devastating attack to devour the very heart of mankind. 1 Peter 5:8, we are warned, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan just loves to break a spirit, to break a heart, to break a mind. Genesis 6, verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. All the time. You and I, when we said yes to Jesus, the evil was done away with as far as judgment on us, because Christ took our judgment. He took our punishment. He had to come to Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday morning to be able to follow through with it. And he did come, and he did follow through. But he's not through with you, and he's not through with me. We'll know it when Jesus is through. When he's through with me preaching right here at Vine Grove Baptist Church, I won't be preaching here any longer. For you see, God remains in control. All these government leaders, all these politicians that are driving me nuts, all of this stuff that is going on, I got news for the world. God's still in charge. He is still in control, and he still knows the evil in the heart of man is continual. We promise to do one thing. I remember when I used to do a whole lot of dedication of babies, infants. I got so disheartened over the years, for folks would bring their child forward, and that child's dedicated into the service of the Lord. And the parents saying, yes, we will keep our child in church. We will make sure that they come continually. We will always teach them. And within 6 months, everybody's gone. As new families deal with life. But let me tell you something. You can't win. You cannot have victory in life without Jesus. Life has no mercy on you. The world does not love you. And just because you express your love to the world thinking that things are going to be good, won't be. But you dedicate, you promise. Let me warn you on this one. Don't you dare promise God something and not follow through with it. Would be better, the scripture says, not to promise at all than to promise and back off or withhold. Lord, you get me out of this mess, and I promise you I'll never get into it again. Go ahead and be honest with him. Lord, you get me out of this mess, and I'll praise your name the next time you get me out of the next mess. That's the human condition. That's where we are. That's reality Christianity. Make it real. Jesus is real. You make your walk with him real. You're going to mess up. You're not going to do it the way somebody else thinks you should. And I'll tell you right now, don't even try, because they don't know what they're talking about. If they don't have any more to do in their life than to condemn you for what you're doing, they're in one that's in a mess. You got me? You follow your heart with Christ. You accept him, you've accepted the power of life. With full and perfect knowledge, Jesus knew that without his intervention, mankind would be lost forever. Acts 4:12, salvation, hear it well, is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus. No other name. That name is Jesus. But Jesus isn't popular right now, Brother Larry. Christianity isn't popular right now, folks. Who made it unpopular? Are Christians standing for who Christ is in their life and what he's called us to be? Or because of the pressures of the world, are we just going along with the herd? We're following the herd. That herd is headed for destruction. Herds walk right off a cliff and kill themselves. That's what herds do, because everyone's blindly walking. You don't need to be blind in the walk on this world. Open your eyes and see Jesus. But you talk to him personally. You talk to him personally. Pray one for another. But you open your heart to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me, please. Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem with full and perfect knowledge of the required death sacrifice that he must make before his Father would forgive the sins of man. Now listen to the scriptures. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. Folks, you can get all the education you want. I encourage education. A call to ministry is a call to get educated. I encourage it. But you can't be educated and from the knowledge of man and be able to touch the hand of Jesus. That touch of the Master's hand is his gift to you. It's personal. You can't get so educated that you forget. It's not your knowledge. It's the grace. It's the grace that only Christ will give you and does give you. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law. Oh, they knew it. And that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. John 12, 27, Jesus says, see, he hurt, he agonized over going to that cross because he was 100% human. You'll learn that this Wednesday on the incarnation of Jesus. He's 100% human. He had to be tempted 100% as a human would to conquer it for us. He did not use his God power. He stayed then in a human condition until you and I had that shot at life. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Jesus says, Father, I shed my blood. And he names us Jesus knew my name before I was. Jesus knows who you are. He knows the mistakes. He knows who your parents are. Jesus knows his creation. Jesus always accomplishes his mission with full and perfect knowledge on the first attempt. Don't you let somebody tell you that, wait a minute, you didn't do it right. Folks, how you gonna mess up, Lord, here am I, save me? How you messing that up? It's your heart. When your heart cries out to the Lord, Lord, save me, he saves you. You don't have to do a flip around the church. You don't have to crawl under the pew or jump over it. My goodness, get real in your walk with Christ. When he introduces himself to you, follow him and you have everlasting life. Hebrews 9:27 and 28. Jesus went on to that Jerusalem, sacrificed himself for us once and for all. Once is all it took. He never had to do anything the second time. Jesus, as man, is destined to die once, just as man is destined to die once, after that to face the judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's us Christians. John 10:17-18. Therefore, my Father loves me. Jesus' Father loves you too. My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Jesus said, I'm conquering it all. Not going to need a second try. No one takes it from me. Who will be found guilty of putting Christ on the cross? Listen to me. That I may take it again, no one takes it from me, his life. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. With full and perfect knowledge, Jesus, the Son of God, became sin for all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ I am righteous. You are righteous. Jesus also took our deserved physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual beating for us. He took it for me. See, my name is on one of those scars. My name's there. Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 7. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her sharers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Could he have opened his mouth? Oh, yes. And he could have called legions of angels, and you and I would be lost. But he said, I'm going to touch the heart of every individual. The judgment against you is a judgment you bring on yourself. That final judgment is by your own hands. How can we have a Savior so full of love, and he offers us love and peace and mercy and grace? He offers all of that, and we said, no, no, no. I need to play in the world. The world ain't playing, and neither is Jesus. Church is not something you act out. Church is a fellowship of believers, flowing human beings, uniting together to praise and worship the one who gave us the hope. See, hope to me and eternal life is just not, well, it's just not an idea that's floating out there. Hope is what I believe. And I know Jesus. And I know I don't have to sweat it. Those who fought along beside of me during all those cancers that I battled and will battle again, fought with me, understanding something. I can't fear death. Gosh, I'm not going to die. Might as well hang that one up. I've told you all that before. If you don't love me, you might as well start, because you're going to have to in heaven, and I'm going. All it is I'm going to step from this body. You're going to step from that body, and you're going to be with the one that you served. Oh, that was a big one, wasn't it? The one you served on earth is the one whose arms you'll step into when you step out of this body. I pray that it's Jesus. I pray that you listen to him, because that conviction comes by the Holy Spirit, not by some person. It is God himself saying, believe in me, I will use you, and I will make you fishers of men. That's why Jesus went to Jerusalem that last week. That's why you and I. That's God's word. And it doesn't get any better than God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your touch upon our heart. For your blessing, dear Lord, God of life eternal. Help us to understand that at no point will we ever be left behind. Always we will be connected to you, because we said yes to your Son, Jesus. Touch us now as we continue to worship in spirit and in truth. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.